Great, so it's tomorrow morning, Monday. What's your priority for the day? You wake up in the morning, bright and breezy, obviously, because everybody's like that in the morning when they first wake up, and you're just lying there and you're thinking, okay, what's the priority for the day? What do you want for the day? If Mondays are a bit of an odd day for you, why not think of Tuesdays? Perhaps it's Tuesday morning, more normal day for you. What's your priority for the day? What do you want for the day? What's the most important thing about the day? Is it that parcel you've been waiting for? Perhaps it's payday for you. It might be your birthday. And imagine all those presents that you're going to get to open and see what's in them. Maybe it'll be the first day that you'll be able to show somebody the new phone that you have. You might be checking a pension statement, I suppose. That could possibly be the most important thing that you have to do. You might be going to see a new bike or something like that. Or going shopping for something else. Sorting out a mortgage. What's the priority for the day? What do you want for the day? We're going to have the usual discomfort this morning from the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus is going to go for our hearts again, right the way through. We've seen it in chapter 5 when Jesus was talking about those commands and the law. We might do certain things, we might say certain things, but what's going on in our hearts is where Jesus honed in. In the first part of chapter 6, Jesus has been talking about the practices of righteousness. But he's been asking, as he's done that, what is your heart seeking? The reward of those who see us around, or the reward of the one who sees us from heaven, even when we're in secret? Because in our heart, it's what he sees that is first to us. And in this second half of chapter 6, Jesus turns and starts talking about stuff, things, possessions, things that you can probably touch, things that you can count, anything that has value, anything that you might be able to trade with somebody for something else. He summarizes it, or the translation summarizes it, as money. At one point, but we're thinking much more than just about cash at this point. Property. And he uses the word treasure. Because treasure offers a verb. Something to be treasured. And immediately, Jesus is entering into the level of our hearts in what he's talking about. What do we treasure? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus assumes that everybody has a treasure that they're interested in building up. Jesus makes the classic distinction in all of reality, heaven and earth. We're all storing up treasure somewhere, Jesus assumes. Is it on earth or is it in heaven? The contrast Jesus makes between heaven and earth here is, on earth, stuff doesn't last and you can lose it anyway. Moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. In heaven, things last, and it cannot be lost. Where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus wants his disciples to know that his kingdom offers lasting treasure that is secure forever. That's why we just sang a song about the resurrection, because forever means more than on earth. For eternity. A life that will never end in death. And Jesus wants his disciples to know that his kingdom offers that kind of treasure. By following him, by listening and putting into practice, we have share in heavenly treasure. Indeed, we can store it up. Now, he's already told us so much about these heavenly treasures. Right back in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They'll inherit the earth. When they hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled, shown mercy, see God, called children of God. Even when persecuted, their reward in heaven is great. Each of those Beatitudes ends with a treasure. Lasting and secure. So the first question, I guess, is, are these the treasures that we seek? Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If treasures are in heaven for us, then our hearts will be seeking those things. What is it that you long for then in your heart when you're lying on your bed tomorrow morning? What is the priority for tomorrow? Well, to rephrase the question slightly, who do you long for? Those Beatitudes are about being under the blessing of God, of being in right relationship with God. Therefore, all the language through here is about God, our Heavenly Father. Who do we seek? Where is our treasure? Well, if these are the things that you seek, if he is the one that you seek, then good. Be encouraged. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But Jesus knows our hearts. He knows the vicar's hearts as well. And he knows we don't always look at things the right way. It's really what he's saying in verses 22 and 23. He's saying that the way we look at stuff tells us what our heart is like. So if the eye is the lamp of the body, if the eyes are good and healthy, the whole body will be full of light. So if we're looking rightly at stuff, it's evidence that there is a heart that is right. So Jesus here is not talking about, it's not about what we have. And it's not about what we do with what we have. But it's about how we view what we have. And indeed, how we view all things. Because there are only two options for Jesus. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The contrast is pretty stark. Is Jesus your Lord, or is stuff your Lord? Well, how do you work out? How do you work that out? Well, you work that out by who do you obey? When you're making decisions, what drives those decisions? Who do you obey? So what are your career ambitions, for example? And why are they your career ambitions? You'll be making all sorts of decisions. We all make all sorts of decisions at every step in life. Why that decision? See, it's very easy for our hunger and thirst for righteousness to take second place when we make these sorts of decisions, or being pure in heart, to take second place, because the real aim is to get a better paid job. And so the decisions we make reveal our heart. Now listen carefully, there is nothing wrong with training for and working hard for and getting highly paid jobs. Nothing at all wrong with that. But if we ask the question, why do I pursue that? Is it out of my love and obedience to Christ? Is it that I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I believe that GPs get paid more than vicars. But a GP, a Christian GP serving Christ, they've got to do the training and work hard. There's nothing wrong with that. But somebody who just pursues that for the money, and a Christian who pursues that for the money, well, the heart has drifted, hasn't it? It's very easy for our giving and generosity. Jesus talked about that in beginning of chapter 6, giving to the needy. Jesus assumes that that's a practice of righteousness for his people. It's very easy for our giving and generosity to take second place. Because I'm just too embarrassed about my phone in public places. Or I definitely need that extension or that holiday. And our heart drifts from that generosity of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who show mercy. Showing mercy costs. And so in our own hearts, yes, we want to follow Jesus, but it's so easy for us to begin to obey other masters, other powers that seem to command and make the decisions for us. So as one writer put it, I thought he put it quite well. He says, Jesus doesn't mind us having hold of stuff at all. But he does mind stuff having hold of us. Did I say that right? Yeah. Jesus doesn't mind us having hold of stuff at all. But he does mind stuff having hold of us. We cannot serve two masters. There is only one whom we can obey. And so that makes no judgment about whether somebody should be rich or poor. But it transforms anyone, however much we may have. So where is your heart? What do you want? A good way of testing where our hearts really are is to start with the question, when you have nothing to think about, or when you have nothing to do, what do you think about? So when you have nothing to think about, what do you think about having? Well, I've been sure there's been plenty of time in the week this week just for, you know, idling in the sun, sitting on your deck chairs. I don't know, all that sort of thing. I don't know. But when you have nothing to think about like that, where does your mind go? Where does your heart take you? What do you think about having? What do you want? What are the actual priorities that come into your mind when you have nothing to think about? And if we were able to examine one another, would we recognize the Beatitudes, for example, as being the thing that fills our mind when we've got nothing to think about? Jesus gets right down into our hearts, and it's uncomfortable. We found that right the way through, but that conviction, we know, comes with a free forgiveness and the power for a new heart and life. Well, Jesus says there's more to it even than this. He digs a bit deeper into our hearts. Having said, don't serve money, he now says, don't worry about it either. He gives three reasons for this. Firstly, because we are more valuable in our Father's eyes than others, and those others do just fine anyway. And we're more valuable than them. That's the first reason. The second reason, he says, because worry doesn't work anyway. And the third reason is because our Father knows that we need stuff. Now, I think we find this particular section quite hard to relate to, precisely because we really are rich. See, only the rich can be fussy about what they eat. Choosing between organic and non-organic food is a rich person's choice. Oh, let's not have that. Oh, let's not have that either as we go through our kitchen cupboards. Let's have that. That's a rich person's choice. If you were struggling to decide which perfectly good alternative outfit you could wear this morning to church, then we're rich. Yet, although it seems there's that side of things, weirdly, even though we have so much, we can still relate to what Jesus says, because we still seem to worry about all these things. We talk often, and you read endless newspaper articles about money worries. And the classic, I've got nothing to wear. Again, Jesus goes for our attitude here. Verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans, he means the Gentiles, he means those who do not know God. They've got no idea about storing up treasures in heaven. That's not the distinction that Jesus is making. Everybody needs food, drink, and clothing, whether you're a pagan or a Christian. Everybody needs food, drink, and clothing. The distinction between people at this point is that some of us know that our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things. That's the difference. And that difference should, again, transform us. Jesus explains by saying, if we know our Heavenly Father, then we will know something about birds. And verse 26, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Birds do no work of production. They do for us, some of them. eggs and things, but not for themselves. They don't sow or reap or anything like that. And yet, they always have food. In fact, that's pretty much, as far as I can work out, looking out my window, that's pretty much all that birds do, is just go around getting food. Although there was a robin building a nest this morning. But anyway, they just go around getting food. That's all they do. And Jesus says, yeah, their heavenly Father is, our heavenly Father is feeding them. And you are more valuable than they are. We can get involved in works of production. We can sow and reap and so on. Yet a bird does none of that and is still fed, and you are more valuable than a bird. See, the point Jesus is making here to those of us who worry about these things, he's saying, you know, what are you saying in your heart about your heavenly Father? What are you saying about his attitude to you, his child, if you're going around worrying what you will eat and drink? What are you saying about your heavenly Father? That he doesn't love you? That you're of no value to him? That birds are more important to him than you are? We're about to come to the Lord's table, where we know how much our Heavenly Father loves us. Yes, he gives food, and here he gave his Son, we remember, to give the food of eternal life. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, it's knowing our Heavenly Father which eases our worries. Briefly, in verse 27, Jesus says, don't worry because it's pointless. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Worrying doesn't work. When did worry ever achieve anything at all that we wanted to? It's probably even worse than that, in that worrying does seem to draw our eyes away from our loving, generous Father who values us. Jesus launches a similar argument to do with clothing, as he did for food and drink. I don't know if you know about flowers, I don't really. But they seem to do absolutely nothing for the splendour in which they are dressed. We were on a country walk yesterday afternoon and we saw some. And when you look closely at some of these little specks of colour in the wild, they are phenomenal. They're astonishing in their detail and their beauty. The reason God put those flowers in those places, one of the reasons, is so that we can look at them and say, they did nothing to be dressed like that. And you are more valuable than a flower. At least trust that your Heavenly Father will clothe you as his child. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. But we're the people who know that our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. And so to verse 30. No, not quite. We are the ones who know that our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. So, does our Father know about the shopping list that we have? Does our Father know that the kids need new shoes? Does our Father know that the electricity bill needs paying? That those old debts need paying off? Does our Heavenly Father know how we struggle to put adequate meals on the table? Does our Heavenly Father know we're just trying to earn enough to make ends meet? Of course he knows. And we know that he knows. And so while pagans might run after these things, we are not those of little faith, Jesus encourages us, but those who know our Heavenly Father. So what is the priority for today? Well, not storing up treasure on earth and not worrying about basic needs on earth. But the priority for today is verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, not to be distracted by these other things. So therefore, in every decision about stuff, in every thought about stuff, in every desire for stuff, let us serve Jesus as Lord. Let us not serve stuff as Lord. Let us seek to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers with all the stuff that we do have. Let us even be willing to be persecuted for seeking righteousness with our possessions. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if our heart is in heaven, if our heart is for the Lord Jesus, then every decision, thought and desire about everything else comes into obedience to him. One of the corollaries, that's the kind of thing that follows. Sorry, you used to have corollaries in maths. We still do. In a community of people like this, or like this, followers of Jesus, in a community of people made up of people whose hearts are being transformed in this way, there will be no poor. That's actually said in the early church in the book of Acts. There were no poor among them. Why would that be? Well, Jesus has told us, hasn't he, at the end of chapter 5, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so there should be, if someone is in need, if you're worried about food and drink, well, trust your Heavenly Father, but there will be people who are becoming like your Heavenly Father within this community who similarly will be merciful towards you. We would never, as followers of Jesus, see someone needing food and drink amongst us and not provide, or needing clothes and not provide. This is the expectation that Jesus has of his people as his Father, the generous, loving Heavenly Father, so we become like him. And so when Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, you can see the practical way that that works for followers of Jesus. The Father provides, but it may well be that he provides through one another, becoming like him amongst his people. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, this is today's priority, and the next day, and the next day. It remains our priority when planning for retirement, when managing our family, when working out all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And to be honest, seeking our Father's kingdom and his righteousness is enough trouble for each day. for all of us. Just to do that, and we will have all that we need. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we have already prayed, we confess the weakness in our own hearts, Heavenly Father, where our trust may be more in the things around us than in the Lord of heaven and earth. We thank you for the forgiveness that you bring, and we pray that in the new life of Christ, by the power of your Spirit, we would seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you would give us confidence in your promise that all these things will be given to us as well. Grant us hearts for heaven, that we might rightly think about, use and desire all that is on earth, for the sake of your kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that happens at the Lord's Supper is, as we come with faith and we receive what Christ has done for us, by eating and drinking, we're saying, yes, this death is for me. Christ gave himself, loved me and gave himself for me. One of the things that happens when we do that is that we rediscover again how much we have been loved. And knowing that we're loved by God should at least remind us that we're worth more than birds and lilies. So we're going to have a song which reminds us of God's love to us, and then we'll serve, we'll administer the Lord's Supper together. Please stand.